SBS live streams and podcasts are supported by advertising.
Why do people want to be at work? To feel heard, appreciated, part of something, and to know there's a career path for everyone. Inclusive workplaces are linked to increased innovation, productivity, and employee satisfaction. Make your organisation a place where people want to be. For inclusion and diversity training, visit inclusion-program.com.au.
You're listening to SBS On The Money with Ricardo Gonçalves.
Here's your daily 10-minute business and finance news wrap for this Friday, the 28th of June, 2024. The Australian share market fell today by 0.1%. We'll have the details with Jessica Amir from Moomoo. But first, we will go to some big banking news where the Treasurer has approved a near $5 billion takeover by ANZ of Suncorp's banking arm. It moves ANZ into the third position as the nation's largest home loan lender. It's 2 years in the making and follow the ACCC's rejection of the deal on competition concerns. For more, I spoke with Nathan Zaya, a senior equities analyst at Morningstar. Nathan, to what extent does this deal change the home loan market? Because at the very least, it makes ANZ an even bigger player in this space.
In my opinion, it doesn't change all that much. And I don't think Suncorp was really unique or a disruptor. There's already an abundance of competition. Like you said, it does make ANZ a little bit bigger. Its market share goes from 13.5% to about 16%, a little bit bigger than NAB, still well below CBA and Westpac, which are above 20%. And then there's a long list of smaller players out there still. So look, it's one less player that was subscale anyway. So I don't really think it will impact the market all that much.
Before we go into some of the concerns, even though you're saying it doesn't have much of an impact on the market because the ACCC didn't think so, but before we talk about that, the deal that the Federal Treasurer has approved does have some caveats, though, like ANZ being unable to close any regional branches for 3 years and to protect jobs, right? Can you tell me more about that?
Yeah, that's right. So even initially, 2 years odd, when this deal was put forward, ANZ was committing to no job losses for 3 years. So that's one thing that the Treasurer is, making sure is definitely there. But like you said, you can't close branches in regional Australia, so not just Queensland. And they also want ANZ to work with Australia Post to provide banking services through there. So look, those things probably does mean a little bit more cost for ANZ and less ability to take costs out over the next few years. But I don't think in the scheme of things, they'll be all that material. And I think the other thing that might have been missed, so Suncorp is waiving the $50 million that they were going to charge for ANZ to use the Suncorp brand for the next few years. And it even mentioned something about, some other integration costs that they might chip in for. So, it looks like ANZ and Suncorp are kind of sharing those extra imposts from the Treasurer anyway. But in the grand schemes of ANZ's cost base and the plan ahead in terms of taking out costs by consolidating systems and processes, I don't think it's that material.
Let's talk about what it means for competition in more detail, both for new and existing customers. So I think you just mentioned that Suncorp brand will exist for another few more years. So existing customers won't see any changes there. But tell me more about why you think this deal was waved through. I mean, what exactly do you see that it doesn't cause issues with competition then?
Yeah, I think so. The tribunal post the ACCC decision decided that it wouldn't substantially lessen competition in any relevant market. And for the reasons I mentioned before, I think there is quite a lot of competition in most markets. So if you just take Suncorp out, ANZ is not going to have their own way with the customers in terms of, we can lower services, we can raise prices. There are other competitors that will step in to fill that void. And, ANZ and major banks in general, I think one approach they've had to business lending in particular has been, using technology and scale to service smaller customers, whereas the regional banks, they rely more on that customer relationship and service. So that's an area where potentially if ANZ decide, you know, it makes more economic sense for us to take staff out of a region, if customers feel like service levels have dropped, they can move to another lender. At the end of the day, that's why I don't think it was blocked. In terms of the treasurer, I think the tribunal, like giving that verdict that it won't substantially lessen competition, and the fact that, you know, Suncorp is running a subscale bank and wants to focus on insurance, so there's a reason why they want to get out. I think those two things probably swayed his decision in the end.
Okay, so finally, given we've got four major retail banks, then you've got Macquarie, I guess. You've got some smaller regional banks like the Bendigo and Adelaide Bank. You've got Bank of Queensland. Is there more consolidation likely in the sector if this one's been waved through, or do you think this is probably it?
Yeah, I think it gets harder from here. I think more consolidation does make sense, even if it's among smaller players, even if it's in the longer tail of very small players, you know, because scale is important in banking. But it's taken ANZ a few years to get this deal over the line. And, you know, I think now that there's one less non-major bank player, it becomes even harder to convince the regulators to approve a major bank, acquiring a smaller bank in the future. So I think if there is more consolidation, it's probably outside of the major banks.
That's Nathan Zaya there from Morningstar.
Now, Market Day on the SBS On The Money podcast.
The Australian share market rose today by just 0.1% on the S&P ASX 200. But today we're going to be focusing on the market over the year because this was the last trading day of the financial year. And the market rose by 7.93% over the past year. So that's from the 28th of June. 7,767 is where the index finished. So up 7.9% in real terms from the same time last year. For more details about the year that was and what to expect into the future, I spoke with Jessica Amir, market strategist at Moomoo.
Over the last 12 months globally, we've seen AI and tech stocks really shine with the world's biggest companies, Microsoft, Meta, Google. They're spending hundreds of billions of dollars on AI. Plus, we've got government stimulus from US, EU and China. So, of course, companies and stock markets benefiting from these tailwinds did well. That meant that our Aussie share market didn't do as well as the US. Of course, the world's biggest companies in AI and chips are listed in the US, and that's why their market is up 25% so far. If we have a look at the last 12 months of financial performance, the US market is not closed yet because their 30 June is different to ours. Well, if we think about the NASDAQ 100, the biggest tech stocks in the US, their market's up 31%. And last but not least, to answer your question, our Aussie market, it's only up by 14%. So what's holding us back? Well, it's largely the lithium companies, Ricardo. They've underperformed and some of those stocks are down 50, 60%. And that's largely why our market's not done as well as the global share market, indeed the US this year.
Okay, what do you think were the key investment themes and do you think it'll continue into the new financial year?
It's a great question. So if we have a look at the best ASX performers this year, we do know that they're in AI and tech. And that's, I guess, leaving the tech sector with a gain of about 31% over the past 12 months. So it's all for good reason. On one side, Ricardo, we've got companies like Life360, Pro Medicus, and Altium. Of course, they're some of this year's best performers, but they're really driving change for the better, particularly in the case of Pro Medicus, the healthcare company that is like the AI back end to a lot of imaging companies around the world. And then, of course, you've got Altium. Altium is developing circuit boards for Microsoft. Well, if you think about those other tech companies, Ricardo, we do know some of those are also benefiting from the global AI push. But companies like WiseTech Global, they're also benefiting from the shipment of goods and economic growth increasing as well. And the second theme that we think that will probably continue is gold companies. So gold companies did really well this financial year. And that's, of course, because the gold price has had a bonanza year. It's up 22% with the gold price at record high. So that's benefiting some of Australia's biggest gold companies like West African Resources, Red five. And last but not least, the third theme that we've seen really dominate this financial year and will likely continue to dominate for years to come is clean uranium energy companies. They've dominated the leaderboard. So you've got companies like Deep Yellow, Paladin on the ASX. They're some of this year's best performers. And that's because the world can't get enough of uranium right now. We're amid a shortage. And we do know that the US, Japan and Canada are pushing to use uranium as a clean energy source by 2050. So the race is on, and those companies in uranium are really pushing to take advantage of that, and shareholders are benefiting too.
I want you to cast your mind back over the past 12 months, if you can, and think about what you think are the top corporate or company stories of the year.
Well, by far, the biggest standout event of this year was NVIDIA, a chip maker, becoming the world's biggest company. It was very brief. We saw this happen last week. But we saw NVIDIA become the world's biggest company, outpacing, dethroning Microsoft after NVIDIA amassed a market cap of $3.34 trillion. Can you believe a chip maker became the world's biggest company? And of course, they will and truly dethrone Apple as well. So that by far is a theme that we're continuing to watch. But the other theme that really stands out, Ricardo, is nothing to do with a company per se. More broadly, I'd say that Aussies have never been so excited in investing in the US than ever before. So we do know, if we think about the ASX investor study previously, only 16% of Aussies opted to invest in international shares. They're really lacking confidence. But this year, we've seen, because of the government stimulus and also the world's biggest companies, those hyperscale tech companies, investing billions of dollars into chips and AI, we've seen Aussies increasingly investing overseas. And indeed, they've been investing in droves in stocks like NVIDIA.
Okay, so we've looked back at the past 12 months. Can you look into your crystal ball now and look into the new financial year? What do you think are the opportunities for investors in the next 12 months?
It's a great question. There's always opportunities. There's always a bull market somewhere. But I think, Ricardo, given inflation pressures remain, gas prices, oil prices, property prices, rent price inflation, we're given, you know, these themes are probably going to continue to dominate. We do think that there's four key themes that are probably going to shine in the new financial year. Firstly, AI and chips. We do know that they're benefiting and they're going to continue to benefit from the stimulus from the government side, from the US government, the EU and China. US, EU, $81 billion of stimulus. China, $50 billion of stimulus. And then last but not least, we've got corporates investing hundreds of billions of dollars in AI and chips. So this is a space that we're continuing to watch, and that'll probably going to generate some of the strongest returns. Second of all, of course, to make all these chips, we need commodities, and copper is the king of the green metals. Of course, the copper market is also in a deficit as well, Ricardo. You can't build a chip, you can't build a building, you can't build a data center without copper. And copper is, I guess, the conduit for conducting electricity. And so too is silver. So we do think that copper and silver will hotly watched investments and will continue to generate some of the strongest returns. Last but not least, we've got uranium. So amid the drive for AI data centers to keep, you know, pushing to keep the lights on or needing to keep the lights on 24/7 and the want for cheap, clean energy, ratings agencies, investment banks, they're continuing to upgrade the uranium sector, Ricardo. And that's, of course, ahead of the US, Canada and Japan attempting to make uranium as the clean energy source by 2050.
That is Jessica Amir there, market strategist at Moomoo.
This SBS On The Money podcast is provided for informational purposes only. The content on this podcast should not be understood as constituting advice or a recommendation. It is not personal advice and does not consider your personal circumstances or objectives. You should contact a licensed professional before making any financial decision.
few minutes to reset? Great Minds is a podcast from SBS that guides you through different meditation styles from around the world. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.